We come here this morning to adore Him, and I pray that our lives will be filled with adoration and worship toward the one true living God. I tell you, I'm excited about Vacation Bible School starting this week. We've been planning, we've been working together. As you can see, as you walk through our hallways, you can see the theme, and you can see all that's been going into this. The kids are excited. We sent a letter home in all the folders of all the elementary school kids, and so hopefully we'll be prepared and ready for about 80, 90, 100 kids this Wednesday night. So at the end of our service, we're going to have kind of a prayer of commissioning over our workers and administrators and people in the helping with food and everybody helping with Vacation Bible School. It's time to level up VBS. Spin the spinner, beat the clock, skip ahead, level up, and play to win. You'll need to bring your A game to VBS. Twists and turns, this is our theme this year. And it's a fantastical celebration of games of all kinds, from classic tabletop games to video games and more. Kids will play their way through VBS while learning that Jesus guides them through all the twists and turns of their lives. They'll find that even when they mess up, it's never game over. I tell you, we're going to be looking at the life of Peter. And Peter is a good example of the game of life and how there are twists and turns and there are ups and downs. And you can think about, as you play board games, you can think about, you know, we play games a lot and we have these dice, we roll and it says back up two spaces. Well, sometimes in the game of life, we feel like we're backing up and then we're skipping ahead and then we've hit this pitfall and then we have a roller coaster up. And that's kind of the way life is. And the way we look at Peter here is you'll see from the very beginning, some of the themes are going to be Jesus is holy. We've sang about the holiness of God this morning. Throughout the apostles and writings, but also the gospel writings, and we see the miracles of Jesus. We see things that wow us, and we see the crowds that are filled with enthusiasm as they travel far and near to find Jesus and to see His miracles. We're going to talk about what it means for Jesus to be holy. And Peter was called to follow Jesus. And as in the game of life, the fact that Jesus is holy, that changes everything. Day two is Jesus is trustworthy, even when I doubt. We're going to look at Peter being called to come out of the boat and walk with Jesus. And as he doubts and faces his, and looks around, he begins to sink. But Jesus calls out to him and reaches out to him and picks him back up to save him. Jesus is always right there with us. He calls us and he keeps us. And sometimes we get distracted, but he's always there to pick us up. And our kids this week need to be reminded of God's love and that He's with us and that even when we mess up, He'll take care of us and lead us. We can always come back to Him. And then the third theme of the third week will be Jesus is forgiving. And we're going to look this morning as the story of Peter, how he denied Jesus three times. Even though he was so bold and said, Jesus, I'll go with you, I'll die with you, I'm never going to deny you. Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And that happened. That happened. But you're going to look at God's restoration of Peter. And in this journey of life, God takes Peter and he strengthens him. And he says, Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter's confused. And he says, feed my sheep. And he encourages and lifts Peter up and prepares Peter after restoring him. And Peter would go. And the fourth theme is we're going to see Peter will speak boldly. And that Jesus is worth following no matter what. Jesus is worth following even when times get tough. And times for believers, it will get tough. There will be difficulty. But James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face those various trials. God has a plan, even in our pitfalls, in our struggles, in our trials. God's still working on us, and He's strengthening us. But I want us to finish the course. And lastly, and this one will be combined in with the fifth week will be combined, and we'll be reminding you of the fifth week, and the theme of that is Jesus is for everyone. We'll see the story of Acts 10, Peter and Cornelius, the Gentiles. God died for all types of people, all races, without distinction. He has a love and heart for the nation. He sends us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the earth. So we're living on mission for Christ, living to follow Him. So the theme verse, what does it say on the t-shirt? Does anybody know? We're going to get t-shirts probably tomorrow. What does the theme on the t-shirt say? Ashton, do you know? I just put you on the spot, didn't I? I know what Psalm Psalm 25:4 says this, following Jesus changes everything. Following Jesus changes the game. Guys, I want to tell you that we're going to talk this month about what it means to follow Jesus. So if you would, I'm not going to stand you up and read to you this week because it's only that one verse, but I will read Psalm 25:4 to you. It says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That's probably on the t-shirt. Psalm 25:4, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That's what the psalmist would say. So as we begin this morning, I want us to look, it may be on your screen here. The first thing we're going to look at is that Peter was called to follow Jesus. In Luke 5:1-11, I want to share this with you. Luke 5:1-11. I think about this as our conversion. I think this is when truly Peter, James, and John, for sure Peter, is when he is called to follow Jesus, and you're going to see repentance in this text. And really the reason you're going to see repentance is because anytime you have an encounter with Christ and you see His holiness, you're going to be face to face with your sin, and you're going to fall on your face before God. And that's what we're going to see here as we look at Luke 5:1-11. And I'll read you a few of these verses. We see here that look at it. On the occasion, while the crowd was presenting, it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Lake Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. But getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. We caught nothing. I like to fish. Some people say, I just like to go out and fish, and I have just as much fun if I catch fish or if I don't catch fish. I'm sorry, but that's not me. I like to catch fish. I don't feel like I'm having near as much fun when I'm not catching fish. But these fishermen had been out all night. They had cast their nets, and this was their livelihood. Now, me and Brother Ken went the other day, and we were just kind of visiting. We still had money in our pocket. We were going to eat whether we caught fish or not, right? Thankfully, we were able to catch a little fish, and Ken's got a big family, so he said they've already had a fish fry, enjoyed those fish. I actually cooked fish for my family the other night. We love fried crappie. If you've never had fried crappie, I need to invite, let me know, and I'll invite you over because you need to experience that. All right? Well, but this was their livelihood. These people were dependent on the fish to feed their families. And they had been all night, had been out all night, and they knew how to fish. Like I said, they were good. They weren't like me where I just went out and throw a hook in the water and hope that they had probably all the latest equipment, even though it's not like the equipment of the day. They knew the tides. They knew the moon phases. They knew where to go. They knew their popular fishing holes. And they had been out all night and hadn't caught a thing. They were mending their night nets. They were fishing their nets. They probably like me and Brother Ken, we break our lines a lot. They probably hook some rocks. They're fixing their nets. They're washing them. They're getting them ready for the next night's fishing. Jesus gets in a boat. He gathers the people around. He gets in Peter's boat. Imagine that, by divine appointment. He's in Peter's boat. He pushes himself out in the Sea of the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching the people. Then he turns to Peter and he says, Peter, let's throw our nets. Why don't you throw your nets out on the other side of the boat? Well, Peter says, well, we've been out all night, and we've not caught anything, but at your word, Lord, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also James and John, and some of the Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Guys, this is one of the first things we want to say to our children this week, starting this Wednesday, is that Jesus is holy. Jesus is God. Jesus is God's Son, fully God, fully man, yet without sin, fulfilled God's perfect plan and is on his way to a cross to die for me and you. And as he's going there, he's doing the works of God. He's doing works that are showing that he is God alone. And Peter has an encounter with him here. He sees this miracle and he recognizes this is truly God. So he hits his knees. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Guys, I want to make the case to you that this is conversion. This is what it means to begin a journey. This game that we're talking about, this race that's often talked about in the scriptures, is to realize who we are in light of who God is and to respond appropriately. And that always looks something like this: "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me. I want to surrender my life to you." This is what's happening with Peter right here. He's beginning this journey. He's answering the call to follow Jesus and become a fisher of men. Our children need to be reminded of who is God, who is holy. Though we talk about this journey of Peter, every week has a characteristic of Jesus. Because a lot of times people get caught up studying people and men when we need to be studying the Savior. So we're going to look at the life of Peter, but every week we're going to highlight, first off, that Jesus is holy. Secondly, Jesus is trustworthy. Thirdly, Jesus is forgiving. People, our kids need to be not caught up. They don't need to be caught up anymore. I love the theme, and hopefully the game will resonate with them because our kids love games. I was talking to one of our little cousins yesterday, and he kept wanting to go play and wanting to go on the trampoline. I said, "Uncle Stephen's tired of taking you to the trampoline, the park." I said, "Let's just sit here." I said, "Let's find us some little work to do." I knew what I'd get, what kind of response I'd get there. But that's not fun. It's not fun to work. All right? Our kids know what it's like to play. They know what it's like to have a good time. And we want this Bible school to be to resonate with them. Believe me, they're going to understand the games and the wins and the losses and the video games. They're going to understand that. But I hope at the end of Vacation Bible School, they understand that life is about a journey. A journey. And you can equate a journey of life with a game if you want to. Because Jesus does change the game. Jesus does change everything. And the fact that he's holy is the first step we need to understand and realize to start the journey. If someone doesn't realize that Jesus is God and that he died for their sins, they're not in the game. They're not on the journey. And so we need to help our children see that Jesus is holy. He's God. And he calls them to follow him. God created them for a purpose. We rebelled, and sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what is going to bring God's judgment on us. And until they realize their sin and they're ready for a Savior, then they're just playing games. But they're not living the game that God's called us to live. So Jesus is holy, and that does change everything. Secondly, they're going to be taught that Jesus is trustworthy. And we can trust Jesus at all times. We can trust Jesus even when we doubt. If you would turn with me over here, it may be on the screen. We're going to see about Peter walking on the water the second night. Matthew 14, 22 and 23. So Jesus has just fed the 5,000 people that were 5,000 men, probably more closely to 15,000 people with just two fish and five loaves of bread. Once again, they've seen this massive miracle of our Savior, and people are in a frenzy. They're wanting to take him and make him king. He's got to disperse the crowds, so he sends the disciples out in a boat to go across to the other side. He gets the people, he moves the people out, tells them to go home, and then he says, "I'm going to this mountain to pray." During the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 to 6 o'clock in the a.m., some of y'all are up during that time. Most of us aren't up between 3 and 6 a.m., but Jesus was up, and he's just walking on the sea. The disciples are up because they're scared. They're in a boat that the wind is blowing. The waves are crashing in. They see Jesus, so they see a figure walking on the sea. And it turns out it's the Savior. They at first think he's a ghost. And Jesus speaks to them. And we need to hear what Jesus says. Jesus speaks to them. In Matthew 14, 22, Jesus spoke. He says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." We need to hear this message as we are surrounded by danger, winds, and waves. As we pray for our nation this week at the town hall, we're often realized that our world is filled with heartache and pain and disaster and frustration, and many of us live in fear. Jesus says, it is I. Do not be afraid. I figure they settled a little bit at that time when they recognized this is someone we know. And he's walking on the sea. So John says, so Peter says, if it's you, Lord, then bid me to come. Ask me to come. Jesus says, come. He simply says one word. He says, come. Now I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to jump out in a wave-tossed sea, I'm going to believe that truly is the Savior out there. So credit Peter for believing in Jesus, jumping out of the boat. He got out of the boat onto the water, and he's walking toward the Savior. I guess it's the only incident in all of the world where I've heard of a man walking on the water. And he's walking on the water. But what happens? He takes his eyes off of the Savior, and he looks at the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink. Let's move on down through there. He begins to sink. If we look at the text there, scroll on down if you see it there up top. Y'all with me up top? Let me get over there. Matthew 14, 22. What's that? That's verse 22 still. Is that all we got? Matthew 22. Let me read it to you. Matthew 22. Look what happens. Verse 30, we started in verse 33, but Matthew 14, 22. Okay, I'm going to get it right here in a minute. Matthew 14, 22 says this, and it says, take heart. After Jesus says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. He says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So we need to hear Christ call us to come. Peter got out of the boat. He believed. He had faith. He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. Beginning to sink, he said, Lord, save me. Let me ask you this. Are you beginning to sink? There are many children here that need to know that Jesus is trustworthy. They need to know that he is powerful over the storms and over the wind and the waves. And notice, not only did he save Peter, he got in the boat and he commanded the wind to stop. And the wind stopped. Jesus is God. He has power over the storms of our life. The children, guys, I'm going to tell you, more so than I believe ever in any time, I know the time I've lived, but probably in all of history, children right now are being tossed aside. They're being pushed. They're being having to raise themselves. They're being abused. My heart just goes out to the kids. I wish they would let, I don't know if they let local community people. I've thought about asking Mr. Summerford, but we've got a whole bunch of kids from Sparkman coming to Fayetteville Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Thursday? And oh, how what excite! I don't know if that's exciting or not to a lot of people, but how neat is that to see a school of kids coming to bond with another group of kids that they're fixed to come and be hopefully friends with? What an opportunity we have to welcome another school that's going to come in and to say, we care about you. We want you to come here. We want to get to know you. We want to get you on our sports teams. We want to teach you about Jesus. We want to teach you arithmetic. That's an old word, isn't it, Brother Ken? We want to teach you math and science, and we want to teach you social studies, and we want to teach you about the ways of our family. We love you. Y'all kids at Hope at Vacation Bible School, and I know we've got the right heart, but I pray that we'll remind each other of our purpose this week when that little child comes running through here and he's making a scene or he's causing a stir. I hope we'll be reminded of that child needs to know Jesus. And we need to point him to the one that can calm the storms in his life. He acts out because he's got a lot of storms in his life. Let's not scream at him and, you know, bring him to me and Brother Kenny. I know that when they do need discipline and they do need to be taught. And Brother Kenny and I are waiting and we're going to be ready with willing arms. If they mess your class up, something's got to be done. Bring them to us. We'll talk to them. We'll preach to them long enough to where they'll be ready to go back in the classroom and act right. Right? But we're not going to kick them. We're not going to call their, last resort, I guess we'll call their parents. But we want to love them, guys. We want to help them. They've got storms in their life. Jesus can calm their storms. We're going to learn this week, the second week, that Jesus is trustworthy, even when we doubt. And there's a lot of doubting. There's a lot of fears. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of things trying to fill those worries and doubts and fears, like drugs and alcohol and things that people are turning to other than Jesus. Let's point them to Jesus and teach them about Him. Thirdly, the simple thing is that Jesus isn't done with us. Jesus forgives us. The life of Peter is a good one to show the journey and the roller coaster. Peter's so confident and arrogant and bold, and he tells us in John chapter 18, verse 15 through 18, if you want to flip over there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we were in Matthew, let's go to John. John 18. Three different times here, we know the story. Three different times when Jesus is there, the events, the Passion Week has begun. Jesus is taken to Annas and to the high priest, and he's being questioned, and Peter's close by, and there's a charcoal fire going on, and a little servant girl says, "I think I've seen you with him." She says, "No." He says, "No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me, buddy. That wasn't me, sweetheart. You got the wrong one." They say, "You sure? I think it was you." And once again, it happens again. So look at there at verses 15. So Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are one of this man's disciples, aren't you? Are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Now look down to verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him? I mean, if you had just cut one of my relative's ear off, then I think I would say that I remember you. I remember that was you that pulled that sword." Peter again denied it, and at once. So Peter, the three times he denied it, and at once, what happened? The rooster crowed, and Jesus turned and stared at Peter. Oh, what shame Peter must have felt to see his Savior turn and look at him after he had denied even knowing him. Christ had saved him. Christ had called him. Christ had been with him. He had seen Jesus do miracles. He had been with him through all of this time. And now he's just, "Oh, that man, I don't know him." But it's not the end, guys. Many of us feel like that. We live in shame and defeat and doubt. And we feel like we've maybe committed the unpardonable sin, and we're done, and God's through, done with us. And we're out there. We're gone too far. We've taken up this lifestyle that is not where we should be. Guys, I want to tell you, Jesus is saying, "Come back, come home, return." Jesus is about to restore Peter. He's going to remind him who he is, what he's been called to do. He's going to restore him, and Peter is going to, in essence, change the world. God's not through with you. It's never too late. Kids need to know that they can be forgiven. They're manipulated, they're coerced, they're told that they're not any good. They're told that if they do this, then else, this is what's going to happen. You can imagine the things that they feel as daddy steps out and leaves and never comes back. You can imagine what they feel when mama picks them up at the daycare at 10 o'clock at night. You can imagine what the children are experiencing when they do wrong and they're told they're no good and they're always going to be worthless and trash. You can imagine what they go through, and we have a chance to love them and to point them to a Savior who died on the cross for their sins, who loves them unconditionally, and who is so ready to show grace and mercy to them in the form of forgiveness. We need to teach them how to be forgiven and how to love God and how to walk with Him and ask for forgiveness and accept His forgiveness and be restored and live as God had originally created them to live, in union with the one true and living God who reconciled them to Him, who loved them, who purchased them by His blood, who's got a plan for their life, who calls them a work of art. Ephesians 2:10, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That they have a purpose. They have value. They're living hope and victory. They need to be taught about what it means to accept God's forgiveness and live in harmony with a Savior. We get to do that this week, this next month, guys. We get to teach them that. So God is holy. Jesus is holy. Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus is forgiving. Lastly, Jesus is worth following. Jesus is worth following. No matter what we might face, even when it gets tough. So what happens is, after Peter denies Jesus, I didn't get into it for the sake of time, but in John 21, if you want to go read that, in John 21, what happens is, Jesus has another encounter with some of his disciples. And guess where they are? They're on a fishing boat. When the going gets tough, the tough go fishing. Peter said, I've had enough, I'm going fishing. He says, who wants to go? Six other men join him, and they go fishing. So after all of these events, now I will say this, Jesus, after he's taken down off the cross, he's placed in a tomb. 3 days later, he raises. He appears to several people, Peter being one of those that first day. About a week later, Jesus appears to Peter again. He appears to Peter again. So this is a time frame where between the resurrection and the ascension. Peter is out fishing once again. And what happens is there's a guy on the shore cooking another charcoal fire. You know, I think that we, in the text, sometimes when we're reading the text, we need to put ourselves in certain situations. This smell was probably a smell that Peter had smelt before when he saw the nets break. And it was a time that the charcoal fire was probably something he remembered when he's standing around having denied Jesus three times. Jesus is over there with a charcoal fire. He's getting ready to cook some fish. He sees the disciples. He said, do you have any fish? And they said, no. What does Jesus tell them to do? Throw your nets over on the right side of the boat. Not the wrong side of the boat, but the right side of the boat. Throw your nets over on the right side of the boat. Something they had heard before. John recognizes Jesus first and says, that's our Savior. That's Jesus. Peter, once again, jumps out of the boat, swims to the shore. As John and the others had obeyed and cast their nets out in the boat, on the right side of the boat, once again, even there in shallow water and the fish during the day would be out in deep water, the one who controls all of the universe has brought this big school of fish just close enough for these nets to go down in the shallow water, which fish shouldn't be there. And they're pulling in nets, and the nets begin to tear. And as it begin to get them in the boats begin to sink. Does that sound familiar? That story sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds really familiar. Guess what Peter's doing? He's coming to find Jesus. As he gets there, he begins to talk, I'm sure, with Jesus. Jesus says, y'all bring some fish over. He gets them over after they get the fish in. They bring the fish over, and they cook some fish. 153 of them, they said they caught. That's a pretty good catch. John 21, you can go read it. But then a scene takes place. The narrator, John, in writing this story, he hones in on Peter and Jesus in the discussion. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Well, sure, I love you. Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know all things. You know I love you. Peter, do you really love me? And after Peter would say that, he would say, well, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Third time, Peter is probably getting, I don't understand, why do you keep asking me that? Three times, maybe the three times reminds him of the three times he denied knowing Jesus. But the third time, he says, you know all things, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking me? He says, well, feed my sheep. And then he tells him that he's going to face difficult times and he's going to go and he's going to die a death, much like the death he experienced. You know what he's doing? He's restoring Peter. He's preparing Peter. He's reminding Peter. He's exhorting Peter. He's preparing Peter for the journey ahead of him. Because I want to tell you, when we seek to follow Jesus, when we understand that God is holy and we hit our knees and we surrender our life to Him, when we see Him as trustworthy, and even though we doubt, and we see Him save us from our doubts and our fears, and Him restore us. When we deny Him, and He brings us back, and we return to Him, and He dusts us off, and He says, I'm still not done with you. I want you to go and fulfill the calling on your life. I want you to do the things that I've called you to do, to be faithful till the end, because those are the ones who have truly been and experienced my salvation. He emboldens Peter now for the journey ahead. Peter's not going to be the same man. He's going to go and he's going to speak boldly. He's going to be used to share the good news of hope with all who will listen. Jesus restored Peter. There's going to be kids at the Bible school that are going to be needing to be restored and reminded of who they are and what they've been called to do to follow Jesus. There are going to be some, just like here this morning, there's some that may have fallen off the wagon because you were never on the wagon. There are going to be some that seed fell on rocky ground and maybe you never repented of your sin. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Some of us need to turn to Jesus and the first time repent and believe and to get in the game. You need to start the journey. But some of us truly have need to accept God's forgiveness and to hear Him say, I love you, I'm not done with you. Come back to me and let's get back to living in victory, fulfilling your purpose that I've called you to. Our kids need to be called to repent and believe, or called to return and to live out a purpose-filled life for Jesus. You also need to do the same. And lastly, like I said, Peter would be speaking boldly about Jesus. And this is found in Acts 3 and 4. Jesus is worth following even when it gets tough. You know, we can go here, and I'm not fixed to read two chapters to you. But you know the story. There was a man outside of this gate. Beautiful. They brought him out here and they would set him beside this gate, and as people would come to the temple, every day he was a lame beggar. He couldn't walk. He found his livelihood by the good nature of people like me and like you that are sensitive to the needs of those who need help. And we throw them a little bit of money and we pray for them and we go on our way so we don't have to fool with them, right? That's what a lot of people do, and that's what we do. We're all guilty of it. But this man was in a helpless situation. He needed a little money. He was glad to get it, even if you flipped it at him and said, God bless you, and kept walking. All right, this man, Peter and John are coming through, going to worship at the temple. This man asked for money, I'm sure, and he says, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give to you. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. This man gets up. His life's been forever changed. It says he began praising God, jumping around. It says he even went in the temple. He was able to go in a place because he was now, I guess, clean. Normally, he probably wouldn't have been able to go in this place. He goes in for the first time with Peter and John, and he's telling everybody what's happened. And Peter and John are just saying, man, he's excited, I know, but that's the power of Jesus. He did the same for me. He did the same with this. You should hear what he did for me. And Peter and John could keep sharing testimonies. I'm sure this man is a living testimony. Everybody's seeing. Everybody's talking. Was this the man outside the gate that couldn't walk, that was born in sin or whatever, born and not able to walk? Yes, that's him. But now he's praising God. Well, you can imagine the chaos and the problem this creates for the religious leaders. What's going on, man? This really, God did this? Well, this is creating a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos. So they take Peter and John and they say, why'd you do this? We're going to lock you up. We're going to put you in prison. And that's what they did. I'm sure they questioned this man what happened. But what Peter does and John does, they tell him about Jesus. They says, the man you crucified, you hung him on, you turned him over to the authorities. The Roman guards put him on the cross. You killed him. But this is the man that rose again, and by this power this man walks. And by this power we live and move and have breath, and we're going to tell you about him. And if you repent and believe, he'll save you. Can you imagine Peter and John sharing the gospel with the religious leaders? They lock him up and they command him, don't you keep telling these things. You need to quit saying these things. Peter and John say, look, we can't help talking about the things we've seen and heard, and we're going to continue to talk about Jesus. We can't stop speaking of the things we've seen and heard. Guys, they were going to do what they had been called to do. They were going to be true. They were going to be fishers of men. They were threatened. We can't stop speaking of what we've seen and heard. They knew it would be wrong to stop telling people about Jesus. They believed Jesus is worth following, even when things get tough. Guys, our kids need to learn that Jesus is worth all of their life and devotion. Jesus is worth everything they've got, and they need to surrender their life fully and completely to Him. And they need to live for Him. They need to tell people about Him, and that they have a purpose in that. They need to know that they are ambassadors sent from another land. They need to know that they are a new creation. They need to know that Jesus is with them and will take care of them. Jesus is not going to give up on them. Jesus' power will help them live faithfully, even when they're threatened and, heaven forbid, thrown in prison. We want these children, their faith, to go from following Jesus to being bold and confident in living out their life for Jesus. We've got this opportunity to teach them and tell them, and I pray that we will be faithful with that task. I pray that we will be faithful with that task. And just in conclusion, as we talk about the confidence of Peter, how he would never be the same and he would not quit. And he ultimately, legend says that Peter was be crucified upside down, being faithful to the gospel. God would use him in an amazing, amazing way. And just lastly, and the last thing that y'all will talk about, but we'll talk about it all week because we don't have 5 days, we've got four. But in Acts chapter 10, you're going to learn that the gospel, that Jesus is for everyone, including me, and the story of Peter and Cornelius, which is amazing. Cornelius is hearing from an angel. Peter's having a vision. God's preparing Peter's heart that all Gentiles, that nothing is unclean, that God declares clean, and that Peter's traditions are out the window, that God has fulfilled our great high priest, also the wonderful sacrifice is the one that we're to follow and tell people about, and that Gentiles, for the first time, the gospel is going outside of the Jewish parameters to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius and this divine appointment, Cornelius and his whole household sitting around. Peter tells them what they must do to be saved, and it says Cornelius and his whole household repents and believes and is saved. And that night, very minute, they're all baptized and become followers of Jesus. And y'all, this is like so amazing, because the gospel is going out. And it leaves us with the reminder that the gospel is for all people. There's going to be a lot of kids that are different. There's going to be a lot of, they're just different. I don't know how the other way to say it. There are people all around us that are different, but the gospel is for all people. And kids also, as we tell them to share the gospel, we need to tell them that the gospel is for all. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. No matter what nationality, no matter how much money they have, no matter what they smell like, the gospel is for all people. And that's something we will be reminding ourselves about this week, and we'll be reminding our children about. So as we finish up, Jesus is holy. He's God. Would you repent and believe? Fall on your face and respond to Him. Jesus, be reminded that He's trustworthy. As the waves of life come at you, you can depend on Him even when you doubt. Jesus is forgiving when you've made mistakes, when you've blown it, when you've screamed, when you've shouted, when you've hurt people. Jesus still says, I love you and I'll forgive you. Come home, return, live in victory. Live on mission with me and for me. And then we said that Jesus restores us. He gives us confidence. This power of God lives in and through us. Speak boldly, be confident, tell people about Jesus. Ultimately, it's about being saved, but it's also about being a disciple, which in turn makes disciples. And lastly, that being a disciple means the gospel is for all people. Call on all to be saved and to come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, pray with me. And this is a time for you to respond. Pray with me, and we're going to respond to the gospel that we've heard this morning. Father, we love You and we thank You. And we thank You that You sent Jesus, even in our sin, to die for us. We thank You that though we were dead in our sin, You made us alive in Jesus. You effectually called us to be alive and to know the forgiveness and salvation. You called us to take up our cross and follow You. You told us, Lord, to leave our nets and become fishers of men. Lord, I pray that we've surrendered to You fully and completely. God, I pray that we've seen You as holy and trustworthy and forgiving. God, I pray that You've been drawing someone to Yourself this morning. Maybe they see their great need. They understand their sin and their need to repent and to follow the one true and living God. I pray that they would see how personal and loving and caring and forgiving You are, and that they would hear You to say, come, all ye who labor in a heavy burden, come unto Me and I will give you rest. I pray that they would hear the call, Lord, to leave their nets and follow. Lord, I pray that you would do business with us this morning. Draw us close to you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand.